Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is, what is it? It's Wednesday, November the 1st, 2023. Welcome. Yeah, yesterday was Halloween. I was wondering how many trick-or-treaters you guys had. We had zero. Looks like we had 260. Wow, you've had more than that. Wow, that's a lot. 260. Wow. That's a lot. So we didn't have a soul. There were trick-or-treaters in the neighborhood. They were all down at the other end. It's just the way our neighborhood kind of is arranged. Like, we're kind of on a bigger arch, and then it's just more condensed, and there are more houses and more loops down at the other end. So they just hang out. You know, that's a better place, I guess, for trick-or-treating. But we didn't have anybody. But around 7 o'clock, so trick-or-treating starts around 6:30-ish, you know, sundown. Around 7 o'clock, the doorbell rings. I'm pumped, man. I'm excited. I run to the door. I got candy. I'm ready to see the little costumes. It was UPS. It was a FedEx box. I actually got a present. I actually got a trick-or-treat. No, actually, I didn't. It was Christie's. But yeah, man, that was it. That was the only, that was the only visitors to our door, until like 10 o'clock. We're getting ready to go to bed, and somebody rings the doorbell. I'm like, turn the light off. No, we ain't playing that. First of all, it's not a kid. At 10 o'clock, it's not a little kid because they already at home in bed. That's a teenager just playing around, wanting to get everybody, all the remnants. Like, no, we ain't doing that. But outside of those two door knocks, that's all we had. UPS and a hoodlum. Anyway, yeah, I was kind of bummed when it was UPS. I was all pumped. I was so sick. Thought I was going to see a cute little kid there trick or treating. No, it was UPS leaving a box. I just saw the back of him. I didn't even see his face. He didn't like say hi. All I saw was the back of him walking back down the driveway. Like, well, okay. Guess you don't want this Snickers bar. Oh, well. All right, you guys. Hebrews chapter 10 today. Great, so great to see you guys on today as we continue our journey through the book of Hebrews. November 1st. I love November. November's awesome. Thanksgiving this month. Veterans Day on the 11th. So, yeah. I like the month of November. Month of gratitude. Yeah. All right, you guys, let's dive in. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. Hebrews chapter 10, let's see what the Lord has to say to us today. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. That's a really good hermeneutic to keep in mind. There's a biblical word for you, hermeneutic. Hermeneutic is a way of understanding, interpreting the Bible, a hermeneutic, and a lens, if you will. And a good hermeneutic is to remember that the law, the Old Testament law, is a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. So when you look at the Old Testament sacrifices, regulations, rules, laws, the temple itself, that whole structure, it's it is good to remember Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. These things in the past are shadows of the good things to come. They are not the realities themselves. They were not the end goal. They never were intended to be the end goal. Whoa, snowed in. I just saw that snowed in Indiana last night. Wow. There was snow in a lot of places last night. I saw some folks up in the Midwest who basically canceled trick-or-treating, basically, because it's like, we ain't going out in 5 inches of snow to hand out candy or to give out to trick-or-treat, and I don't want people coming to my door. It's cold, so we ain't got that. It's not that. It was actually very nice here last night. Today, it's high of 73. It's going to be gorgeous. We're entering into a very, very beautiful time of year in Florida right now. Tomorrow, moving forward. But we've been paying for it, man. The summer's been hot. So we ready. All right. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near in worship. Right? Since it itself is only a shadow and not the ultimate reality, it is incapable of making worshipers perfect, because it is an imperfect system. It's going to take a perfect sacrifice to make perfect worshipers. Verse 2. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? If they were perfect, if at any time it would have been a perfect sacrifice, perfect system, why would you have to repeat it? It would have been, perfection would have been attained. For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and no longer have felt guilty for their sins. Verse 3. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. So you get what he's saying here. It's like the fact that you have to do them continually is a continual reminder of its inadequacy and of our own sin. It's a reminder. I mean, it's nice to have some way to atone for sin, some way to make things right each year between the worshiper and God. But the fact that you have to continue to do it is a reminder, A, that the system is imperfect because you have to repeat it, and B, that you are a sinner. So twice, you have to just continually be reminded of that. And it's an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible, verse 4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Because they're not equal. Human and animals are not equal. So no amount of animal sacrifice is going to accommodate perfectly for a human being. Verse 5, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, this is Jesus, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. It's awesome. Jesus came to do the will of God. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Robin. Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, Mom and Dad, Trish, Ann, Lee. Good morning. Great to have you guys on. Those of you guys on the podcast, welcome. So glad to have you. Verse 8. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Okay, so they were. It's not that they were offered incorrectly. I mean, on rare occasions they were, but by and large, They were done according to the law. But even God himself in his word says that he doesn't desire them. Now, why? Because it was a shadow of what was to come. It was showing that it was inadequate. And it wasn't because it was done incorrectly or out of order or any other thing. It was just an inadequate, imperfect system. But it was pointing. It was pointing towards Jesus, honestly. Verse 9, then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy. By what will? By the will of Jesus. Because Jesus was willing to offer himself to do the will of God, we are made right. And it's all God's will, right? The Old Testament system was God's will that would be a foreshadowing. It was also God's will that would ultimately be fulfilled and culminated in Jesus. We are saved by that will. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Praise God. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice once for all. You see, Jesus the Messiah, offered himself once for all. It doesn't have to be repeated over and over. Verse 11, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So if you wonder, like, what about people who are still doing the Old Testament law? Like, they don't believe in Jesus, but they're doing the Old Testament law. Are they forgiven? No, they're not, because it cannot fully take away sin. Jesus came to put away the Old Testament law. It was a fulfillment of it. And so to still be looking to the shadow rather than the reality is inadequate. It is insufficient. Jesus told lots of parables about that, about, you know, the parable of the sons, of like, you know, he sent the owner of the vineyard, sent his servants into the field to collect the money, and they beat the servants. Well, the temple, the Old Testament system, the prophets, they were all, in a sense, servants, pointing people to God. And then finally, in many of those parables, the parables, God sent his own son. Surely they'll believe my son. But they beat and killed him, murdered him too. How much is going to be the judgment on those wicked tenants? Because Jesus was the fulfillment. He was what everything was leading to. Verse 12. But when this priest, make sure I read it all here. Verse 12. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Who? Jesus, right? Jesus, because he was God, offered himself. And sat at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits to make his enemies his footstool. We got a little visitor here. We're just going to, boom, we're going to hide him. We don't have time for that. So, yeah, he can spend time on his own channel studying the Bible. You're welcome to continue listening, though, and you might learn something. uh, I would love to have that conversation with you offline about the contradictions. Anyway, back at it. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits to make his enemies his footstool. Verse 14. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Wow. So he makes us perfect forever. It doesn't have to continue to make us perfect every year. He makes us perfect forever. Verse 19, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this, for he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Not only does God, Jesus, provide the perfect sacrifice of his own blood on the cross, atoning for our sin, but he also gives us the Holy Spirit that applies the law of God to our hearts. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Praise God. So you don't have to come annually, year after year, asking for forgiveness. Christ's sacrifice is sufficient. That's beautiful. And where these have been forgiven, a sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. And you hear that? Like, you don't have to keep repeating it again, because there's no longer a need for forgiveness, because it's already been forgiven. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. This is a beautiful verse. You ready? By a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, there it is. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So he's saying, based on all that has been said, right? Based on that we have a great high priest, that we Jesus has paid the price, he's the great high priest over the house of God. Since we have this access, man, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. And with what? Full assurance, confidence. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing that Jesus has provided a way for us to enter into the most holy place of the most holy God. And we can do so with full assurance. Wow. That's awesome. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly. Like, don't let it look, child of God, don't let anything deter you from approaching God. Don't let anything cause you to waver in your faith. Don't let anything deny you from the blessing of all the joy of being a child of God. Hold to that unswervingly. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope. To the hope we profess, for he who promised, yes, he is faithful. He is, man. He's faithful. Aren't you thankful for the faithfulness of God? Man, I am. He's faithful. He keeps his promises. And he keeps his promises to you. Every good and perfect thing God wants to do in your life, he will do. He will accomplish. Verse 24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Yeah, let's encourage each other. Yeah, it does kind of remind you of Hebrews chapter 4, similar theme, right? come boldly before the throne of grace. Yeah, that you might obtain mercy. It's definitely a parallel there that we can continue to come boldly before God with full assurance. Oh, this is the preacher verse, man. This is the preacher verse. This is the verse we like. Preachers love this verse. We like this. And now let us consider, like, think about it, plan it, strategize about how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. It is important for us to worship. It is important for us to gather. I am not of that. Look, I know worship is not everything. I know corporate worship is not everything. I know that, you know, you can fellowship with God and you can connect with God in other places outside the corporate worship gathering. I know that. But I am not of the cloth that says it's not important. No, it is important. And it should be a regular weekly habit. Now, are you going to lose your salvation if you miss a Sunday and you don't go to church? No. No. There may be some things on a given Sunday that it's more important that you go to something else. But as a rhythm, as a habit, it is important for you to be in worship with other believers. Period. End of story. I have never seen a mature believer that I personally respect or would want to emulate their lives that does not have the practice of regularly gathering with God's people. Not one. Every mature believer I've ever met has had a regular practice and discipline of gathering with the people of God in worship on Sunday and not just online. Yeah. I mean, this is great for us to gather like this and be able to do this as a Bible study on a daily basis, but on a weekly, we need to be in person with the people of God. Now, if you're sick and you're hacking and you're coughing, stay home. You don't need to spread that. But outside of that, yeah. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, what? All the more. As you see the day approaching. Yes. Verse 26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Woo! So if you just keep on sinning, ignoring God, keep on unrepentant, there's a judgment coming. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone who deserves to be punished, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Ooh. Man. Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. I hope our anonymous friend is listening to that. Yeah. For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, and I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is if you're unrepentant, right? That's the point. If you're unrepentant and you do not acknowledge who God is, you do not acknowledge his Son, it is a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. It reminds me of the famous Jonathan Edwards sermon, right? Sinners in the hands of an angry God. People were quaking and shaking here in that sermon, history says. They were scared. You don't want to be a sinner in the hands of an angry God. You want to be the righteous in the hands of a loving God. Verse 32, remember those early days after you have received the light, when you endured in great conflict and suffering. Man, Remember that. Remember when those early days when Jesus saved you. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. Wow, isn't that beautiful? The writer is just reminding them, look, man, you suffered. People even took things from you, but you were like, you willingly relinquished it because you know what? I've got something better in heaven. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Oh, child of God, don't give up. Notice, no one can take your confidence. Only we can throw it away. And the Hebrews writers remind us, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Verse 39, last one. But we do not belong. Man, remember this. Oh, child of God, the tribe that we're a part of, the family that we're a part of, the cloth that we're cut from. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. That's who we are. Praise God. All right, you guys, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the sufficiency of your sacrifice. Thank you for the new life and the joy and the confidence and the assurance that we can have because of the perfect sacrifice you offered on our behalf. Lord, we pray that today we would walk in confidence and assurance and persevere and be bold and courageous for you. Lord, thank you for my friends. Thank you for your presence with us as we read your word. I pray you administer to each and every heart today, bring encouragement and strength and delight in you. God, we thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, my friends. Thank you so much for being on today. Thank you guys for being on the podcast. Thank you for taking time to spend some time in God's word today. Take a moment to, if you're on YouTube, hit the like button before you leave. Just hit like and appreciate that. You guys have an awesome day. Thank you for liking and subscribing. Thank you for all your comments. Thank you for all your feedback. You guys are the best. We'll be back at it tomorrow with Hebrews chapter 11. It's going to be awesome. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.